Chicago. So I'm part of that. I will be helping not only conducting the tour, but doing the research, so I may call on a few of you. Especially, we'll be pointing out all the Drummonds, and then Frank Lloyd Wright, but then, you know, there are a lot of interesting stories, a lot of interesting people in those areas. Also, each attendee will receive the Historic Homes map and brochure. And also, we'll give a plug to Commissioner Popowitz's videos.
Do we have specific dates for those?
Not yet. It'll be a Saturday. June is going to be either the second or third Saturday.
Okay.
I know Father's Day is in there. And just as soon as they establish that, you'll know.
Okay.
And then the August one, nothing yet on that either.
Okay. And the first one is going to be Thatcher and Edgewood, and the August one is going to be Keystone and
Forest. Okay. And it'll be Lake to Chicago Avenue. And we're not every, I guess when Kurt Etchington talked about this with the board, they wondered, why not the Winslow House? Why not Waller? What, this is to be kept to an hour and a half, including walking time, and about a mile round trip. And that area is kind of a story. It's a tour all by itself. So maybe a third tour will come in, and then you can, you know, work on Auvergne, River. Yeah, and then maybe the, you know, the train. Anyway, it's not going to be on there. Any other questions?
No, that sounds great.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting that they offered to do this. So, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Before the meeting started, Jan and I were discussing her efforts and some of the phone calls I've been making for the dissemination of the HPC's walking tour map. We've got, it looks like, 15 locations. In various stages of process, either dropped off or in process. So looks like we may have a second printing at some point, which is good. Okay, any other public testimony? All right. Approval of the minutes for December 13th. Does anyone have any comments? Do I hear a motion to accept?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion's carried. All right. Consideration of a certificate of appropriateness for the application for 1123 Franklin for demolition. You'll notice on the agenda there are sort of two items that fall into the same category. Item four is really any comments that we may have on the current materials in terms of questions regarding the current materials. And item five is whether or not we believe the additional materials are required or whether or not we believe the application is complete. And we also have a representative from the town attorney's office here to assist to the extent that that becomes necessary. So let's open it up to the first. Are there any comments and questions regarding the current materials?
Yeah, I mean, I have some.
Okay, Michael. Yeah, we made the request, and it was confirmed that there would be, in fact, insurance coverage because we'd be doing things on behalf of the village, but the owner declined.
Okay. Could they do a video?
We can certainly ask.
I mean, every
room in the house, basement?
Yeah.
The reason I bring the question up of the tour is trying to understand the issues that you brought up with the house, right? It would have allowed a visual confirmation of things like the And so what I'm really trying to understand is, and maybe I should start with the question of, you know, do we want that to be one of the questions here relative to the ordinance, right? Which is that type of information being relevant to providing the certificate of appropriateness. And then second, how do we get confirmation of those issues without a walkthrough? Because I think that goes maybe to what Carl was saying, or maybe a video or something, but I'm trying to understand the information that makes the house unreliable. That's essentially what it comes down to.
So again, the tour of the property is something that would happen voluntarily.
Right. And I get that. So that's fine.
And
so we're not going to do that. But then how do we, the question really that I'm asking is how do we get five satisfied, you know, without seeing it for ourselves?
You're talking about requirement five?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is the description of the home?
Yeah. I mean,
So I guess the only thing that I would remind you of, and I think this comes back to a similar conversation that we had in regards to 747 William, that the structural integrity of the property isn't a condition of this review. So if you remember from the conversation of the commission requiring a structural analysis completed by a structural engineer, right? That was something that the commission wanted to require in 747 William. That part is not deemed to be the relevant information because that's not a condition that the commission is reviewing the application on. So again, while the applicant could certainly choose to supplement their application with a video, and we could certainly include that then, it wouldn't be something to require.
So, well, and that's just kind of like, maybe it goes to a broader question about all of what's under E, right? Because we do, the question of what's relevant information, not relevant information, it goes to the question of, as a commission, we're being asked to take a significant property in the village and say, yeah, we're okay with it being torn down, right? We had this discussion with 747 William, and when did it reach that point? And it was narrow, but even on 747 William, we reached a point where we said, you know, that property was in a condition that, fine, we're going along with that. But we were able to visually see it and all that sort of thing. So it was really important information, certainly to the decision. And so when we look at 8, right, where it says relevant information, if we're to go and make a decision about a significant property that's resulting in its destruction, you know, and if the purpose of the application here is to give us the information that we need throughout the process, then it seems to me like this is relevant and it's okay for us to ask for it, whether we put it under 5 or whether we put it under 8, you know, I don't care which. But they brought up the condition as the reason. I mean, originally the application stated they were considering rehabbing as opposed to tear down, but the reason for the tear down, the principal reason, is the state of the interior, right? So I'm just trying to connect the dots between the pieces in the application, and it seems like information that we need to do that.
Yes, I sort of have two thoughts in connection with that. Broadly, I would agree with you, Michael, that the applicant has introduced the question of structural integrity as the main reason for their desire to demolish the home. Therefore, any giving us the ability to view this either in person or through a video would certainly enhance our ability to make a determination on that question that they've raised. In terms of interior versus exterior, our only concern is with the exterior, not the interior. We don't really have jurisdiction over what someone does on the interior of their home. And in fact, someone might suggest that the gutting of the interior, in fact, is an enhancement to the cost of a rehab.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the interior at all. I'm just talking about the structural issues.
Yep.
And a tour would have allowed us to judge that firsthand, right? Now, I don't care if it's rehabbed on the inside. I understand we don't have any jurisdiction.
Absolutely.
I don't really care. But but from a perspective of it's stated as one of the principal reasons for the teardown, it's information that we don't have, you know, I don't, it seems critical to the process, you know, again, this is all whether we provide a certificate of appropriateness or they meet the period and then just do the teardown anyway. But I just don't feel like, you know, it's hard at this point with this information to be able to make that judgment, right? Which was the whole purpose of the tour.
Sure.
Right?
Okay. Okay.
See, Michael, I'll agree. There's a statement here, shows serious signs of loss of structural integrity, right, in number five of their, right up here, from what I can see on the outside of the house, there's no major stress cracks or failure of bricks and things like that. The inside photos, which they provided, also show no major, that I can see any major structural issues in the house as well.
But that's agreement, right? We're agreeing.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were saying you didn't.
Yeah.
No, no.
Okay. No.
I know I surprised you.
Pardon?
I know I surprised you, but I do.
No, no, no. We've agreed before. We've agreed on 747.
Any other thoughts in terms of what we've already received?
Yeah, I think we talked about this too, that there are two other houses within proximity to this that have a similar look and feel to this house, which are habitable and fine homes as well. So it gives it some credence to. It is a bit of an established look on that block as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did have one other question, too, related to the language. And this is more a matter of just maybe needing clarification. I know that you helped write it, so you would be able to say this. But in E6, the detailed description of proposed alteration or demolition together with pictorial additions indicating how much more extensive proposed changes will affect this subject property. I wasn't sure I understood what that was getting at. Right? I mean, we had the conversation with the homeowners that they want to build something in a similar style. I don't know if that goes to the replacement anyway. It doesn't seem to, but it asks for a pictorial addition. So I kind of didn't understand what the intent was on 6 and what it was asking us to try to do. You know, the answer in the application submitted is, you know, we're tearing it down and we intend to build a new home.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what 6 is getting at.
I think that was intended to address an alteration greater than 20% of a visible facade from a public way, so that we'd want to see what that change would look like.
Except
as opposed
to the word demolition.
Right.
That's in the alternative.
But just remember that the certificate of appropriateness application criteria, you know, as a lens as a whole, could apply to other alterations as well,
yeah,
as demolition.
No, I get that. But again, just with the language, I know it's in the ordinance, but just to read it for all of us to understand the confusion. A detailed description of the proposed alteration or demolition together with pictorial renditions. And when I first read that, I thought it was asking for some view of what the replacement would be, but I don't think
so. No, it's not.
Okay.
And that's not in the purview.
It's not.
Okay.
It's not. No, the alternative would have been to break the concept of a certificate of appropriateness into one for demolition and one for alterations. And the thought was that would have been unnecessarily cumbersome and, frankly, a little legalistic in terms of subsections and all that other stuff.
So the qualifying clause was meant to apply
to
together with four renditions, that's only meant to apply to proposed alterations?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So do we think 6 is met? I think that's my question.
That's a question.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really one of the questions as to whether we've got enough of that information.
All right, so you want to hold that till the next point is what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Carla, Owen, thoughts?
Well, we have the River Forest Historical Survey, and here on page 223, 1123 Franklin appears. And as I read the sheet, and I've seen the photos of the inside of the house, under evaluation it says the condition of the house is excellent, and the integrity is excellent. And I think based on my conventional wisdom, I'm not basing it on structural, but to me, the house is not in excellent condition based on the photos I've seen. And it doesn't say, you know, whether it's structure, it just says condition of the home. So I think we're misleading on this page to call this house excellent condition. It just isn't.
Actually, where's the exterior, not the interior?
Well, and going on what's written.
Right.
Yeah, that's written for the exterior.
It's for the exterior. It's for the exterior only, and in the upper right hand corner, it indicates that the view of the home was the survey. Was done
2012 probably
August 15th, 2012.
Well, so I still go back and leave a question not on the just if the exterior is in fact excellent. I only was on the public sidewalk, but for what I saw,
sure,
you know, it appears to be showing signs of disrepair. But
what did you notice? What did you specifically notice that was in disrepair on the front facade?
Well, it's could be just the fact that shows neglected and it's not tidy. It's an unoccupied dwelling. So,
but it looks like a mess. I mean, you know, I think it's.
I probably have my eyes a little more cosmetic than structural, but my background is not such. But anyway, that's the one point I wanted to make.
Yeah, unoccupied properties generally tend to be cared for less well than those that are occupied. That's probably a reflection of it. I don't necessarily think, you know, just prospectively, I don't know that it would really make sense for us to periodically update all, you know, we had 298 at one time, and now we have 296.
What's written is written, but I was just commenting on that.
Right. As I said, as of 2012. So, Carla, thoughts? Okay. Moving on to item five, then, do we believe the application in its current form is complete, or are there some items which we would like to receive to assist in our review and determination, other than, you know, potentially a video? Is there anything else? Dave?
If you're going to discuss the structural issues that they're claiming here, then I'm, you know, the photos. It's fine to see what is or isn't there.
Yeah, I guess the question is something to substantiate the statement that it's, I don't want to misquote it. It shows, quote, serious signs of loss of structural integrity. I guess the question is some form of substantiation to that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that because, and again, whether we put under 5 or 8 does say, or as the commission may require, and I took that to mean as the commission may require as it goes through this process.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our job is to just look at this with perspective of when do we think a property needs to be torn down. It has nothing to do with, you know, I mean, clearly there's a path forward whether we give this certificate or not, but to make the judgment, you know, because we're historic preservation, really think I need more, and maybe it's more convenient to put it under 8 as the commission may require, because to go through this process, I don't know how we say, yeah, we agree with that, you know, if the choice was between renovation or tear down, and it tipped towards tear down because of the structural integrity issues. I don't have the information right now that would allow me to say that, and the pictures don't do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So just to lend a little bit of guidance from the village's perspective and staff as well, as we've been advised. The guidance for this evening is to prepare a clear motion to direct staff to approve the certificate of appropriateness with any additional information that you deem relevant this evening. So rather than have the applicant come back to the commission again with the information, assuming that that information that you requested would allow you to make that determination that it's appropriate to put that on staff. And if you think there is something else that is needed that fits within 1 through 8 under the ordinance, that's entirely, not to use the word, but appropriate to ask for this evening. And staff, and we've discussed the process to allow that to move through staff so that the applicant can continue with the project if that's the position that the applicant wants to take.
Well, let me ask a question. My understanding is our discussion this evening was to determine whether we felt the application was complete.
Correct.
rather than reviewing the substance of the application.
Yes, that's correct. So tonight's purpose is just to determine whether or not you believe the application is complete. You could say, we believe that it's complete, we direct staff to accept it as complete, but if there is any additional information that you'd like to see that you believe is relevant, especially under subsection 8, to direct staff to accept the application as complete after receiving that information.
Okay.
So then staff makes that determination rather than the commission.
As to whether it's complete, and then we would then hold a public hearing at a date to be scheduled to determine whether or not the certificate of appropriateness would be granted.
Yep.
Correct.
Just to clarify, I think the confusion was Carmen said reviewing the COA. What I think what he
That's
meant,
right.
reviewing the application for the
COA.
COA. Yep,
correct.
Exactly.
Right.
And again, just to be clear too on the relevant information, because I think that's where you were going, Commissioner Pritz, was to the fact that, again, relevant to the decision that the commission has to make. And so that's where we've come back a couple of times with the structural analysis piece, right? So,
So I'm a little bit confused. If we say that we don't think it's complete and we direct staff to accept, makes the judgment if what is submitted following up meets the criteria the commission, is trying to get to?
So essentially it's a two-stage process. Tonight's determination is whether or not you believe staff would accept a completed application with certain additional information, and then, as was discussed prior, the approval of the COA. So there is another step. It's certainly a recommendation process that is subject to board approval. But just looking at the face of the ordinance, it appears that Section 5 has been met based on the plain reading of the ordinance. Now, whether or not the ordinance goes further to request additional information or additional information would be appropriate, a plain reading of the ordinance really does not specify a walkthrough or a video of the interior of the home.
I agree.
And it's likely that's the reason why it was written the specific way.
But it does in 8 say information as the commission may require. And I took that to mean as they may require to go through the process and come to a decision, right, the recommendation.
Sure.
So I'm sorry, I'm still a little confused.
Yeah, so
if we say that we're not satisfied, we'd like more information relative to this question of structural integrity, and then direct staff to, in that direction. At the next board, or at our next commission meeting, do we then say it's met, or does the staff make the decision that it's met?
Staff makes that decision based on the criteria you lay out, right? So if there's going to be other information that's required, we're going to talk about that at group, try to detail the criteria of what that is so that staff can review whatever that submission is, say, yep, meets the criteria the HPC set forth and
okay.
accept the application.
Okay, so we'd be directing staff in terms of specifically what we'd like to see as specifically as we can make it.
Exactly.
So essentially
correct.
What you're saying tonight
okay.
is the application itself for the COA would be appropriate or would be complete with the following things.
Yes.
That
but
staff would interview.
Because I think the completeness of the certificate starts the 6 month clock, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
And it also starts the time within which we have to schedule a public hearing to consider the application.
Yeah. And that's just everything kicks off from the
We've got 60 days within which.
Yeah.
But the completeness is in fact, that's when the starting gun goes off. Okay.
So do we now discuss what would meet the criteria, given us the
mm-hmm.
information?
Yep.
In whatever
yep,
like
absolutely. Yep.
Okay. So I would like evidence, and this could be either pictures or an expert opinion, that would enable us to understand or give us it would demonstrate the issues of the with the structural integrity in a way that would be clear to us that the building is suffering from substantial deficits, right? That are leading to this question.
So again, from where we started with that, that is a request the commission could float for the applicant to provide voluntarily, but wouldn't be compulsory under that section of the ordinance.
Yeah. So under E8,
mm-hmm.
I'm asking it. So now I'll just pin it right to 8, right where it says, as the commission may require. I feel as a commissioner for me to make the judgment that about granting this certificate of appropriateness, I need that information. Right? Because we're looking at a significant property, we're talking about tearing it down. It was said in the certificate that renovation versus tear down was, you know, both were considered with, you know, and intent to tear down because of the issue of the structural issues. I just want to see those in a way that you know, makes it clear to me what those issues are. And again, I'm not trying to say how to do it. I photos work for me, video works for me, a structural engineer's report works for me. You know, it doesn't have to go that far because, of course, there's extra costs associated with that. I'm real, but it has to be clear to me that when I look at the evidence, right? And that's the thing that I want the staff to feel to understand when they're judging it, is it has to be clear from the from what's submitted that there are issues of structural integrity.
So a couple comments, and certainly the request can be made, although. Yeah, it would require a majority of the commission today to require that. One thing to consider is the end result or the end game. This is not a landmark property, so the matter of whether or not demolition versus rehabbing the property is more financially feasible is not a requirement of whether the COA first is appropriate or two would be granted. There were a couple things discussed, whether it be pictures, video walkthrough, or an engineering report. It may be considered overly burdensome for that type of report, considering the fact that the request is to demolish the property, not whether or not demolition would be or rehabilitation would be overly burdensome or unduly burdensome against the applicant versus demolition. So it may be seen as a little too aggressive. But because you did give options regarding pictures or a walkthrough, it's certainly something that the commission can consider, but as I did state before, it would have to be on a majority basis.
Yeah, and so the reason I bring it up is with 747, we had titanic struggles over this question of what our purpose is as a board, right? And I was one who voted for allowing the teardown of 747, and that the issue of renovation demolition, the financial question for all that, it shouldn't enter into that. Okay? But there we had a tremendous amount of information about the property that enabled us to have those types of discussions. And then we had a discussion about what we could consider or couldn't consider, and the neighbors weighed in, and you know, we had the hearings and all that sort of thing. So that was a process where there was a lot of information. And one of the core questions that we thought about, because I think we did fight about it, and I think that that's fair that we did, was this question of our purpose. And so, you know, some commissioners on me said, hey, historic preservation is in our name, so we should favor, you know, those steps that where we're not giving our approval to the tear down of property. And we can argue about that again if we want to, I don't see any purpose to it. But the
that I agree, we're not trying to force a renovation, but if we're being asked through the certificate of appropriateness to in effect give our stamp to the teardown of the property, you know, if we just allow anybody who buys a property to come in and say, you know, and I'm not saying there's bad intentions from the current owners, we went down that route with 747 William, and that was not something we should be doing. But anyone could come in and say, well, it's got problems, I want to tear it down, and then we're just a rubber stamp for tearing down historic properties. So, you know, I'd like to know the compelling reason that the structural integrity lives up to that, and then I'm happy to vote for it, right? And in the absence of that, then I don't know that I was convinced by other commissioners, I believe, that we shouldn't be saying yes. And, you know, what the ordinance says is that you just wait, and, you know, that's fine. You know, it's not a terribly long time to wait. But withholding our approval, I think, in the absence of evidence that that's something that we should be doing, it's a significant property. It just is. I think we argue to the point of the ordinance that's a fair reading of the ordinance. So that's our thinking. You can argue that. We argue to the point a lot.
So again, going back to requirement 8, again, it's information you're requiring that's relevant to the decision.
Yes.
And since the decision is whether or not it's historically appropriate to tear down that home, is why the structural integrity of the property has been deemed not to be relevant to that decision. So again,
well, I didn't follow that logic. Yeah,
you just lost me, John.
And just as we did with 747 William, right? Procedure's no different here, right? So again, the structural integrity of the home, as Carmen's explaining, I think, is again applying to economic hardship, economic viability of rehabbing the home, just general, you know, structural possibility of rehabbing the home, but not to the question of whether or not it's historically appropriate to do so.
See, I would disagree with that. I think the purpose of item 8 is to allow the commission to determine what in its judgment it believes, as a majority of the commission believes, are appropriate pieces of information in order to make an informed decision. In looking at the application as it's been presented to us, the only item which is stated as for the demolition of this historically significant property is its, quote, loss of structural integrity. Other than those four words and some photographs, which I find inconclusive at best, I don't see a reason in that application to indicate that the rationale for removing this property, because it's structurally unsound, has been met. Therefore, I think requesting that information substantiation behind, you know, to give some weight to those four words, because that's the central issue that we're being asked to determine, is in fact appropriate. And I think that's specifically the purpose of clause number 8.
Yeah, and I want to reinforce that, because again, I don't think we're being asked to be a rubber stamp relative to somebody buys a property, they want to tear it down, they say we have reason for wanting to tear it down, and therefore, and we just say, okay. I just don't think that's the purpose here. I mean, again, if we don't approve of it, then there's a remedy for the homeowner. That's fine. It's just a small weight. You know, so but we're putting our mark on it saying we approve.
I'd agree with you, Michael. Otherwise, to state otherwise means that item 8 has no meaning, no substance. And in fact, anyone could say, I wish to demolish this property because I believe it, there's a loss of structural integrity, period.
We just have to say yes.
We have to say yes or no based upon that. And that's not an informed decision.
I mean, let's not forget, the application very explicitly says renovation versus demolition, and it tilted towards demolition because of the following reasons. So, okay, I'm not convinced, so I'd like more information.
So the another way to read Section 8 or subsection 8 is the times will change. Other things may become relevant, may become irrelevant. That would have been at this meeting, that may have been during the 747 meeting, that may happen 10 years from now. And to give the commission some leeway to consider additional relevant information is a lot easier than just changing the ordinance fairly frequently. As was the case with 747, the understanding from staff and certainly from the village's perspective and through our office is that the structural integrity itself is not, as John did mention, particularly relevant because the decision is for demolition and not alteration or rehabilitation. I know it sounds backwards, but had we been talking about a landmark today, it would be completely different.
Yeah, but and different clauses apply under landmark, right?
So, this is
claiming economic hardship.
Right. And that's why the ordinance this way is drafted this way in several other communities as well. And some don't even have these protections or as thorough protections as we do in the village. To facilitate the request that we're discussing now, certainly if the commission agrees, could be as simple as a written statement from the applicants who are the homeowners that staff can review and discuss with them. We would caution against any formal request for a structural engineer report. I think that based on looking at the application, and I'm sure that the homeowners can provide specific examples of the damage to either the foundation or the exterior walls because of the ingress of water, that shouldn't be too difficult to prepare and that staff can review as well.
So I think we're talking about two extremes there, right? One is a written statement. That's why I tried to pick the language I picked. I'd like it to be clear from the information that's submitted that it's not an opinion, right? That there's clear reason to believe this, right? Mm-hmm. And a statement saying, hey, I saw water damage on the basement. That doesn't convince me. But I'm not asking for a structural engineer. I'm just asking for whatever form. I'm willing to be flexible on that, right? I understand that a structural engineer that's expensive. So not asking for that. It's just, if you say that the roof is what's the wording, visibly sagging from the exterior. I can't see it. I didn't go on the property because that would have been trespassing, but I don't see it. So if some photos of the angles that make that clear, would be useful. The things that are in here that are referred to, as the reason for the teardown, I just want to understand the evidence. That's all.
And certainly
and I'm comfortable with it coming.
And if I'm hearing you correctly, maybe fleshing out Section 5, the brief description, along with the damage to the home, maybe with some pictures, additional pictures.
Pictures would do it for me, as long as they clearly show the damage, right? David, I don't know if you want to, you're certainly more of an expert on this, right? Mm-hmm. Your architectural background, so I don't know if you want to weigh in, but
I think I've already said from what, same thing that you saw from walking by, there are no missing pieces of slate from the roof. There are no visible cracks on the exterior. And it says here the home is without several windows, which are going to be boarded up, but still without access for small animals and rodents, as well as some unlawful human inhabitants. I hope that should be was without several windows. I would think the owner of the home would have boarded those up and made sure no animals got in there, people got in there as soon as they could. So I'm a little clearer to why that says the home is without. Michael, again, I'll remind the staff, there's the neighbor to this house to the north is very sympathetic to this. Looks like the same architect, same Tudor look, same limestone chunks that are on the windows, very sympathetic. And across the street from that is another house in that same look. So to me, it's a very contributing house to that block in that historic district. It's certainly a good contributor.
But I think I'm asking something slightly different, which mm-hmm. is what would be evidence to you, of these issues? Photographs do it. I think I'm comfortable with it.
But again, I can see with my eye on the exterior that things are pretty clean.
I know, but these were, I think, probably people, maybe it mm-hmm. was from the back, maybe it's from the side, an angle we couldn't see from the sidewalk. I'm sure it wasn't written capriciously because I'm sure they figured we'd go and take a look at the very least, right? So I'm sure there's evidence, and I think we just want to know what that is. So I would be satisfied with. I'm asking you as an architect if you'd be satisfied with the photos.
Yeah.
say yes, short of the photos, I think we're saying sure. The experience of the builders, I'm sure, would be helpful.
Could you just precision. Just to be specific, elaborate, photos showing
specific, and tied to the so it's like, of course, right? Again, with 747 Wayne, we did a walkthrough, and it's like there's chunks missing from the floor in the basement. Here's the, we can see the marks from the leakages from, through the foundation. We can see, the bowing of the floors. We can see from the exterior the sagging of the roof. I mean, we argued the question of renovation versus demolition in that case, but you know what? I don't think any of us thought that was going to be an easy renovation if they did the renovation, because we saw the evidence. And just, in the absence of a walkthrough, just show us the evidence, so that we can be comfortable with the decision.
David, correct me if I'm wrong, but with a brick building, you can determine through basically, I don't know what the specific word is, but a zigzag crack to determine that in fact it's a substantial structural issue.
A wood frame house can move and siding can move with it. A masonry house is very unforgiving. At any movement or settling at all, you'll see a vertical crack go out through the joints out this direction. If something settles or moves, you'll see it pull apart. I don't see any of that in evidence on this house.
So photo will do. So I think
we'll call it specific photos to show
specific evidence.
Evidence detailing the loss of structural integrity of the exterior of the home. That's what our concern is as to the exterior. Exterior concerns, four walls, foundation, and roof.
Water damage at the foundation and basement, all those things.
Yep.
Everything that's listed here has to do with that.
Mm-hmm. So additional photographical evidence.
Photographs, or if they want to do the walkthrough with cameras, and take a video, we all carry a video camera in our pockets these days.
I'm just capturing that. Give me one second.
Do we give descriptions of requiring elevations, exterior elevations of the house for our application?
Yeah, we require.
Yeah, we require elevations. The query, do you think this is sufficient?
Yeah, there's a really cool dorm in the back of the house that's just happened to be missing. It's right up here is a big diamond shaped cool glass dormer that's not on here. But the window counts are not correct on several elevations. It just says
front side rear elevation.
Yeah. I'm happy with the pictures to me tell more than these elevations. I'm happy with that, so I know what we require in terms of elevation for all four elevations.
Yeah, I mean the requirement is a site plan and front side and rear elevation drawings. It doesn't provide any more criteria than that. Mm-hmm. Certainly you could say that. You can make the argument, if that's what you're trying to say, that those elevations are insufficient to meet the common understanding of elevation, I suppose.
Although I would think that the existence of precisely detailed elevations would be more relevant to an alteration as opposed to the request for a demolition.
Again, with photos, this is plenty for on this job.
Okay.
I would agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I guess, is there any other deficiencies identified?
Is there anything else that we think is potentially missing from the application as it's currently in front of us? Carla?
I would like a video of the interior. Mm-hmm.
Owen?
I just think evidence on the serious signs of loss of structural integrity is mentioned in item 5. That's the argument for the demolition, which would that evidence have used in support of what the homeowner wants to do?
Any other considerations, Michael? Concerns?
No.
David, anything else?
No.
I don't have any others. Therefore, I guess there are... two concepts. One is, as you have written.
Yeah, you want me to read that back?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so I have additional photographical evidence detailing the loss of structural integrity claimed. Do you have any wordsmithing for that, Dave, that you'd like? This is your wheelhouse.
Photographic or video evidence.
Okay.
Detailing the claimed loss of structural integrity.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, that, as Carmen pointed out, sort of is a subsidy to requirement 5 or 8.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so we then need to have a motion made to indicate that
if I could if please. I could help, I hate to butt in,
please.
But
no,
so my suggestion would be and I've written my note down here, so hopefully I get it right, that someone makes a motion to direct staff to accept the application as complete with the inclusion of the following materials, which would be additional photographical or video evidence detailing the loss of structural integrity as indicated in the current application.
Okay.
If I can get a so moved, or
someone could simply say so moved.
Sorry, I know maybe this is nitpicking, Carmen, just tell me if it is, but
go for
the detailing, I don't want detailing, I want it evidencing maybe that's splitting hairs, but you know what I mean? Detailing is like, yeah, we saw sagging, evidencing it is, here's a picture of it sagging.
You know when you see it.
Additional photographic or video.
Evidencing, right?
Additional photographs or video evidencing the loss of structural integrity as indicated in the application.
Okay.
And so just so everybody's in understanding, if there's a second.
Okay. So the motion would be to direct staff to accept the application as complete with the inclusion of additional photographic or video photographs or video evidencing the loss of structural integrity as indicated in the application.
Okay. So we had. Okay. So again, just so everybody's on the understanding, the village would then flip that information back to the applicant. Once that's provided, staff would make the determination that it's complete to this criteria and would determine the application is complete, at which point we would notify the commission and proceed with the public hearing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take a vote on that.
Absolutely.
Commissioner Dowling?
Yes, I support the motion.
Commissioner Pritz?
Aye.
Commissioner Graham White?
Aye.
Commissioner?
Yes.
Chairman Franek, thank you. Okay.
Okay. Item 6, discussion of additional ways to protect significant properties. As part of the process regarding public education and the acclaimed map, which has gotten a lot of positive feedback from the folks I've spoken with, does anyone else have any other thoughts? Although, oddly enough, I must admit that there is one error in the map, which will be corrected, I trust, on the next iteration, and that is Laurel McMahon's former home is listed as being a Frank Lloyd Wright design.
We're counting on you, Carla, to catch these things.
Yeah. Not so much. Not so much. So other than that, and I will tell you, the folks over at the Unity Temple Trust, when I mentioned that to them, they said, well, you know, we fully understand no one's perfect. We get it. We think it's a great step forward.
It's a little egg in there for
you. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, just because I racked my brain on it too, I did go through all 8 of the revisions that we had, which each included it. So there you go.
Years ago, I remember negotiating an extensive contract with an attorney whose mother was a full-blooded Passamaquoddy, member of the Passamaquoddy Nation in far down East Maine. And when I pointed out to him a drafting error in the document that was in favor of his client. It was in favor of my client, not in favor of his client, but clearly not part of the business deal. He said, well, my mom always told me that the way you can tell something has been done by a Native American or First Nations, as they would call them in Canada, is there's always intentionally a mistake because only the creator is perfect. So that's a good way of looking at things sometimes. Any other additional ways?
I think what Jan's doing with these history walks is keep
yeah,
it going.
That's fabulous.
That's fantastic.
That's really good.
Just shoot me an email, Jan, and I'll get you whatever copies you need for that. You said you wanted
great.
To provide the map. Just let me know.
Yeah, great.
They're here. You know that. So.
Right.
And Dave, per you, I'm going to visit the Unity Temple, the Pleasant Home, and the Historical Society with those copies.
Oh, yeah. Let me. Yeah, absolutely.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and we got a couple of people that need to get back to us that have received emails from others on our behalf suggesting that it would be a good idea for them to participate in this community-wide education. Any other business?
I have one note.
Please.
This week's Wed State Journal, dated January 23rd, there's an article, River Force named Solar Friendly Village. There's a picture of a house with, of course, the solar panels. And what a great energy thing this is going forward for River Forest to be one of the designated communities. But I'm thinking that of these solar panels, for example, on a significant property, because you know solar panels are not necessarily the best looking thing out there. So there may be something in the future. I'll send you the article to John if we haven't seen one around. But this may come up. Mm-hmm. If somebody has a significant home and they're in a, you know, putting some solar panels up on their house.
Yeah.
It definitely affects the exterior appearance. So since there seems to be a trend in this direction, we might want to address that early.
Yep. Depends which way the – depend what is south-facing.
Yeah, but
– And can you attach them to
a – You can't hide these things once they're on your roof or in your backyard.
Yeah, you can stick them on a garage, hopefully.
Yeah.
Elon Musk picture.
There you go.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that the next regularly scheduled meeting.
I have one other question.
Please. No, you're fine.
I'm a little busy, so maybe I'm asking a question that's already been answered. But have we answered the question whether we have the ability to exclude a property or a structure on the property that's non-residential at the request of the homeowner?
Understood. Yeah. So again, there is, I think the way out is an ordinance change. As we discussed a couple of times, it would be a couple of words that essentially would allow a single or would allow for that application to be for a single home and for it to not be the full application, if that makes sense. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm understanding because the
yeah, I realize I stumbled through that.
Do you need more time? In other words, is this yes. something you're going to come back to?
Yeah. Well, is
in a future commission meeting?
Yeah, because it's essentially an ordinance change that would have to go through the village board, and that's why.
So the question that we had was whether the because of the distinction between mm-hmm. property and structure, somebody could have come to us and say, I understand I live in a historic property, but this structure should be excluded from the
yeah.
designation. And we thought we might have the ability to say, sure.
Yeah, so it's just...
have we decided we can't?
Not quite. So again, the first interpretation that we'd be making, which I think everybody was comfortable with, was that the ordinance reads now that you could remove the designation from a property. The interpretation we'd be making is that that could be divided to the removal of just one structure on that
and
property.
That's the language you're considering. That would give us
not quite, actually. But, yeah, that's the interpretation that we would make that I think everybody's comfortable with.
Okay.
The language change that we would need is that right now the process for removing a designation is the whole application, the whole COA application. We're not going to require elevations, things like that, of a shed or garage, those types of things. We didn't want that application to be burdensome for something that might be
a
simple
issue. That was at the core of it, right?
Yeah, so the application part is a simple
change.
That's right.
Sounds like the process is still under consideration.
But I think we're close.
Yeah, but we're close, and at some point in time, it'll be brought back to us with a,
that's right,
with a recommendation.
There's a realtor that inquired. We got them that response in terms of how it reads now and what the commission is considering.
So they're waiting on this too.
I mean, not necessarily. I we provided that to them. I haven't had any further inquiries from them.
Have they torn down the structure in question?
To my knowledge, they never purchased the structure in question.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I was just going to mention that next regularly scheduled meeting would be Thursday, February 28th for your calendars, but dependent on the application we have pending, the public hearing might come up first, and then we may divert regular business or however the chairman sees fit. So
yeah,
we'll go from there once we have more information.
Okay. All right. Hearing no further business, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, everyone.